This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is hour number two, Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. You know, we've reached the date. It's June 1st. That means any movement on these hypotheticals, that would occur now and moving forward. So if you were wondering if Julio Jones would be traded, where would he be traded? Today's the date that things can start moving in that direction, and maybe down the road in a day or two we get to see where some of that may come from. Aaron Rodgers, the same situation with him. If the Packers are indeed going to trade him, which I don't think they will, but if they are, this is the date moving forward when that would happen. So, again, you go back in March when a lot of these stories would be popping and getting, like, some heat and getting some love. It was always the June 1st deadline. And it felt like it was a while away before anything would even happen. But then you get the draft, and then all of a sudden you go through May, and here we are. It's June 1st, and now we can actually see some things. We're going to talk about a latest report from The Athletic that says that the Packers general manager is holding firm, will not trade Aaron Rodgers. I don't blame him. I don't think this is a big surprise. Brian Gutekunst said that he will not trade Aaron Rodgers because unless he is believing completely that Aaron Rodgers would never play for them, you might as well get something. I'm even going to go one step further with this. I think if you're the Packers, you don't trade Aaron Rodgers even if you believe he won't play for you, because you would rather see Aaron Rodgers not play in the NFL than play for somebody else. Don't worry about what you could get for him in a trade. Just say, you know what? We wanted him to play here. He was going to play here. He decided not to play here, and that's totally 100% on him. Don't worry about needing to get something because he may not come back. Just say, you know what? We were never going to trade him. If he leaves, he leaves on his own, and that's it. If he wants to go do other things, he wants to go Hollywood, let him go Hollywood. But on our watch, we were never going to send him away. But we'll get into that coming up. We'll get more into this story. It's by Matt Scheinemann of The Athletic, and it's good stuff. We'll get to the details of that. But coming up next, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb. And since Ron was off Monday, that's 3 days of processing good, bad, and the dumb from over the weekend. We'll have that for you coming up. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb with Ron off yesterday is a lot to choose from for all three categories. But let's start with the good of the day.
I actually have two because I don't know the first story. I don't know how much you guys covered it. Seeing how you're a big soccer guy and Sean Mapes, who filled in for me, is a big soccer guy.
Yes.
But I was going to highlight the fact that Christian Pulisic.
I saw that.
Became the first American to win the Champions League, which is a big deal.
That is awesome.
Chelsea beat Manchester United, or not Manchester, Manchester City 1-0 over the weekend. It's the greatest tournament, soccer tournament Europe has, I guess. You know, outside the defunct Super League.
Right.
But, yeah, Christian Pulisic, first American to win it, first American to hoist the cup. And what was kind of fun was that he was wearing a USA sweatshirt post-game.
Yeah.
And so that way everyone could see, like, you know, make sure everyone says, you know, USA, it's on my chest, look at me.
All right, so if you were just a USA soccer fan, what can you take from that?
Dreams do come true. I don't know.
No, like what?
I know what
currency could you get out of that?
What do you mean currency?
Like, okay, yay for Christian Pulisic, yay. But if I'm a USA soccer fan, I want to know, what does this translate for me? Do I get anything out of this?
Like
do
the I, angle? I guess the angle that most are trying to push on it is that, you know, this will inspire young men to take the path of soccer. Okay. I don't know, because what we've had, they've had success in the past. Yeah, I gotta be honest
with you. Here's the problem with soccer. I'm not trying to down the story. It's
No. Go ahead.
I drive in the fall and the spring. There are soccer fields everywhere. Everywhere. Soccer participation is not lacking. It's
no.
what happens at a certain point.
It's that, the. It's still, I believe, I know the stat may be a few years old, but it's the most played sport up until junior high.
Right. So I'm wondering if you are looking at, can the United States utilize this kid in a way that benefits Team USA? Winning for Chelsea, is there something that they can do with that?
They should.
Something that can happen
but
with that?
Here's my fear, is that it's going to go the way of Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You know, you have, I mean, we've been talking about him. I mean, even you know it instantly who he is. And you've been talking about him for a while as being probably the greatest American player ever. You know, I'm using that, stretching that a little bit, but he is. He's had so much success over in Europe. Yet, if he was to walk down the middle of the street, you wouldn't even bat an eye at him. You wouldn't blink.
Yeah.
And that's who Mike Trout is. We all say Mike Trout is the greatest baseball player playing the game right now, except no one knows who. No one knows who he is.
Does he have, like, an ability to take the United States to another level, like a World Cup play?
That remains to be seen. I mean, what hurt 4 years ago, or I guess what, 2 years ago now, was the fact that they did not make the tournament.
Yeah, I know. That stunk.
Or 3 years ago, I should say. And that really hurt. I mean, he was a younger kid. He should be able to put the team on. He should almost LeBron James it and put the team on the shoulders. I mean, it's harder in soccer to put the team on your shoulders, say, hey guys, everyone follow me, unless you are truly one of the greatest players of all time. But the USA should make the World Cup, and if that happens, now he's on a grand stage where
that's
he can really show off his skills and talent.
Yeah.
And we can all rally and cheer behind him.
That's good. It's good. It was good though to have an American representative on a
yeah
field like
and
that.
Actually played in the game too. He came in midway through the second half.
Awesome.
So it wasn't just, hey, he sat on the bench and won a trophy. He was on the field as the final whistle blew.
Yeah, that's great. All right, what's the second good?
The second good of the day is that it's been 2 weeks. I didn't realize it had been this much time since Kevin Pillar had his face fractured.
Yeah, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah, even more amazing is the fact that he played last night and then in his first step back got a base hit.
Hey, look at that. By the way, did you see Jacob deGrom's numbers? They're like crazy.
Yeah.
He's got like a 0.74 ERA, one of the lowest in May since the 60s.
Is that the run scored for him?
Yeah, right? Exactly. But yeah, no, that's great for Kevin Pillar.
Yeah, no, I'm just, because I think back to what you and I, you know, if that happened to us, I think we're out of the game.
No, I without question.
You take a 98-mile-per-hour fastball to the face. I don't know how, I mean, 2 weeks, I guess that's enough time to come. I don't know if he's wearing a face shield, a la, you know, like a lot of NBA players did back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be intimidating to get back into a batter's box.
I would think so.
You know, just be staring down the fastball. So
goodness. All right, what's the bat of the day?
You knew this was going to happen. Guess who has the number one selling jersey in the NFL right now?
Tim Tebow.
Now, not only is he the number one selling jersey, but it's also the number two selling jersey.
Okay, I want to bring this up. I'm glad you brought this up, because I have a theory behind this. It's not merely my theory, but it's a theory that I share with a lot of other people. Is it because it's June, May, and the run on jerseys are slowing down for everybody in the league, and then here's a new guy that's popular, so he's going to get the number one jersey sales for that period of time because everyone bought their Brady Buccaneer jerseys already?
It could be that. I really have no idea.
Like, how hot is the jersey market in June?
But here's,
May and June.
But here's the thing, though. It's I guess the part that I'm looking at is that it's outselling Trevor Lawrence's jersey.
Oh, yeah. But I thought that was going to happen.
But is that what you want as a team?
No, not at all.
As the Jaguars, that's where...
No, because you don't. Because you again, he's selling jerseys, but like in the end, we're talking about a billion-dollar business. He's not selling enough to change to change the bottom line where you're like, I'll give him a roster spot because he's selling it. Eventually, people who want his jersey will have his jersey, and they won't buy him anymore.
Maybe they're buying him. I mean, he's not even on the team yet.
No, he's not on the
right?
team yet.
But you could get – he's an, yeah. as everyone said, maybe that's why, too. It's like,
but I've seen people with, like, Philadelphia Eagle Tebow jerseys when he was on their – when he went into camp with them. I mean, it's like people buy this because they
– yeah.
You know, Tebow's baseball jerseys were flying off the shelves. You know, the Columbia Fireflies or whatever they were. Yeah, they were buying that. They buy this guy's stuff.
Well, I mean, and not to be outdone, though, the number 3, 4, and 5 – selling jersey is Justin Fields.
Yeah, that's good.
So, I mean, that's at least good. They're doing it right. Then it goes Brady.
I knew those Gator Florida fans were going to eat that up. You don't even have to be a Jacksonville fan. You buy the kids.
Tebow's at 1 and 2. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was all the way down in 14.
They got a statue of him, for crying out loud, outside that stadium in Florida, in Gainesville.
Yeah, they should put it outside Jacksonville Stadium, you know? Too.
Let's see maybe
before he even plays the down on the team, just put a statue of Tebow outside.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't blame Tebow for that. He can go play and try to play, but the people are being silly with this. They're like, he caught every pass. Yeah. He's trying to be a professional tight end. It would blow my mind if he didn't. Like, you guys, stop taking basic skills that he is supposed to have competing for this job and acting like they're extraordinary.
But you don't find it extraordinary that a tight end caught a pass, Tony?
Right, yeah. So that and guys, like, guys, you got to do that. You can't. That's not a awesome thing that he caught a pass. He's trying to be a pass catching tight end. You should be more concerned if he doesn't. If he does, it still doesn't make him on the team. The requisite of being a tight end in the NFL isn't can you catch the ball. That's a given when you're on trying to make an NFL team that you can catch the ball. There's 50 other things you have to do. And I think people getting way carried away with that.
No, they definitely are. I mean, here's the thing, though. I do see him making the team, though.
I kind of, you know what? I did not think he was going to make it. And now every day that passes, I go, I think I'm changing my mind.
Whether it's justified or not.
Remains to be seen. Completely.
But I could see him making the 53-man roster.
I am starting to lean to that direction. It was on 10, and now it's probably 55 on my percentage meter of him making the team. I'm now more than 50-50 that he makes the team. It's probably going up on a daily basis. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, we've been talking about it all day, about fans running onto the court.
Right.
Right. And this, I had it in my dumb, or had it here before, was going to replace it. But, you know, I'm just going to bring it up again because we had another incident happen, not on the basketball court, but this one was at a college baseball game where a player, the pitcher, hit the batter, not on purpose.
First of all, who are the teams that were playing?
It was Mississippi State and, God, I can't remember. I'm sorry. This was a minor league. It was Corpus Christi, and I don't know who they were playing.
Okay.
Corpus Christi is a double-A affiliate of the Astros, I believe. And Corpus Christi is at bat. The other team's at bat. I'm sorry, I don't know that other team's name. Pitcher hits the batter. Fan runs onto the field to fight the pitcher.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally got up in his face, was, you know, put his fist up, ready to hit him before, obviously, you know, everyone, before the mayhem emptied out. And, you know,
exactly.
Third baseman comes over and shoves him to the ground and both, you know, their bench is clear. The one team's bench doesn't clear at all.
Wow, they just kind of sit down and do nothing?
They just sit down. It's like, oh, it's their fight. Let them deal with it. So it's bringing it back to that thing of, okay, what are we – I mean, we've been watching it in basketball all weekend long. It's happening in baseball now too. Are just fans just – is this pent-up frustration from not being able to see a game last year?
I don't know what it is. It's kind of that's a good question. I don't know what it is. I'm kind of blown away by it, to be honest with you.
I mean we've seen fans jump on the stands, run around on the field acting like an idiot. You know, usually they're naked. I mean, there was an incident not too long ago where
I think it was a streak at the Super Bowl.
There was a streak at the Super Bowl. There was a rain delay for the Washington Nationals, and a streaker ran onto the field and was sliding naked on the tarp.
Yeah,
on the tarp field. I mean, you know, harmless fun. Just, you know, guy who probably had too many beers or, you know, said, hey, hold my beer, watch this type of thing. But now we have this happening, too, where fans are actually interacting with the athletes.
Yeah, no kidding.
And not in positive ways. I mean, remember, who was it? Remember, it was like the blonde girl who always ran onto the field just to go
Morgana,
kiss.
Morgana, the kissing bandit.
Thank you.
Bandit.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Why can't we go back to that?
Yeah, we're, yeah.
You know, her interaction was to kiss someone. Or, you know, we always watch Hank Aaron's 715th home run.
And oh, the yeah, the fans, kids that ran on the field, yeah.
The two fans are running next to him.
Exactly.
But now we have, I mean, now it's getting to a point where, yeah, in baseball we talk about netting going around. Do we have to have, like, gates and iron bars and turnstiles to keep fans out of the stands? I don't know.
Like I said, I don't want one or two instances to result in massive, massive change. I think you just really punish in a different way than legal, right? There's only so much you can do legally, but there's a lot you can do. You don't have to give them a ticket. You don't have to sell them any more tickets. You can ban them from stadiums and arenas. And then if people just sort of know that, maybe it'll slow down a bit. But I don't know. I don't know. I think there's something about the way people are doing it.
It's, I don't know. So could be. I mean, maybe that the at-home TV experience is far too good now.
Yeah, exactly.
That true. You'd rather stay at home. It's like, oh, I don't care if I'm banned from there. It's, you know, better seats at home anyways.
Exactly.
Just go out there and act like a fool.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we are back in business after the weekend. When we come back, we'll get more some in the NFL news, including this latest report on what the Packers may or may not do with Aaron Rodgers as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Sports Map All Night.
Chris Areola, 38, 6-1, 33 knockouts here on Sports Map all night ahead of Ruiz Jr. and Areola. So, Chris, if one of the Paul brothers decided they wanted to mess around and try to go up a couple of weight classes, that would be a lesson you'd be able to teach them?
Oh, man, please. Oh, my gosh. It would be a dream come true to fight one of those guys. You know, I would fight him for pennies. I would do it for free, honestly, just to teach him a f***ing lesson.
That's the thing, man. How disrespectful is that for you who trained his entire career and his entire life for this?
You know, it's pretty disrespectful, but at the end of the day, man, I got to give him a little respect because boxing's not that easy. Boxing's not an easy sport. Boxing is a dangerous sport at the end of the day. You know, all it takes is a punch to knock him on the f***ing out, and all it takes is some accumulative punches to give you brain damage, you know? So I got to give him a little respect because of that, but at the end of the day, you know, they're YouTube stars.
Sports Map All Night with Bill Schmidt.
Weeknights at 10 Eastern.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. This report out of The Athletic says that the Packers at least are going to hold firm and not trade Aaron Rodgers. But again, that's hypothetical right now. We could see. I know we've been doing a lot on Aaron Rodgers because this is the, I don't know, this is sort of the big carrot on the end of the stick for some NFL teams. And this is one of the movable pieces that would probably make the most noise in recent NFL history. I mean, seriously, think of another move of a trade of an MVP player because he didn't want to be there anymore. Like, seriously, Aaron Rodgers being traded from the Packers would be, it's one of the biggest stories in the NFL in the last, what, 10, 15 years, if that actually happens. But The Athletic is reporting that the Packers are holding tight right now, and they should. They should. As I've said many times, I think this story, it's like a three-act play, right? The first act is the conflict. Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the general manager, and he doesn't like the way that he was mistreated when they drafted Jordan Love, and he's got a lot of problems. He's unhappy. So there's the conflict. Then there is the battle. Okay, so we know that there's an issue. Now there's the battle. The battle is, I want to be traded. I won't play football again. No, you will play football. If you play football, you'll play for us. The third act is still yet to be developed, which is what actually occurs. There's a couple of things that could happen. One, Aaron Rodgers goes, you win. I'm playing. Okay. I'm good. The second thing is the Packers could actually wake up one day and go, well, the Broncos are offering us an unbelievable haul. We're trading them to Denver or Las Vegas or wherever. The third thing is that Aaron Rodgers says, you know what? I will not play for you. And if that means I don't play, then I'm not playing. And then that's it. And those are the three scenarios. This has been a weird story, though, because Rodgers in the Kenny Mayne interview on ESPN talked about how much he loved everything about Green Bay except the one individual that he has a problem with, and that somehow that one individual overrides his lack of, I don't want to say hatred, that's such a strong word, but his problem with that one individual overrides all of the things that he loves about wearing a Packers jersey. Right? And then all, so the Packers can't even overcome that. So here it is. It's June 1st. If he's traded before June 2nd tomorrow, Rodgers would count in the cap space dead money of $38 million. So now, after this period of time, it would be reduced to $21 in dead money. So will the Packers change their mind? That's basically the question, right? Will they end up changing their mind? Yep, possible. It depends on what the offer is. But as I was saying this yesterday, and I keep repeating, do you want to be the general manager that traded Aaron Rodgers? Do you want to be the guy that traded the NFL MVP? Is that what you want? Because no matter what you do, that is what you'll be known for. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Jordan Love your first year, so you got to be patient with that. So you have to be willing to put up with years and years and years of watching a young man grow into the role to one day lead you to a Super Bowl championship, and while you're waiting that out, be reminded that you were one game away from competing for the biggest prize in sports. And that is the big dilemma. I know I don't want to do it. It's very similar in politics, right? Politics is very similar like this, right? You get like mayors in towns, or you get governors in states, or even presidents of the United States have to deal with a very tough financial issue. What do most of them do? Like if you're dealing with a pension crisis in your city, right, where the pensions that you're paying out to your service workers are somehow going to be destroying your budget down the line, what do you do if you're a mayor of a city? You put it off as far as you possibly can so it becomes another guy's problem, because you're not going to be the one that does anything about it. You know, we hear this about like Social Security, right? Well, it's going to go bankrupt, right? All the things. Would anybody be willing to say, on my watch, I'm willing to scrap it all and start again or do something different? No, of course not. They'd rather just let somebody else down the road do it. That's what's happening here. You don't want to be the general manager that does this. If you're Brian Gutekunst, you don't want to do this. Be known as the guy who trades Aaron Rodgers. And that's why, again, when people say, like, well, if the Broncos were to offer, better get something for nothing, you're almost better off playing the bluff game with Aaron Rodgers, right? You're almost better off saying, if you don't want to play, don't play. But if you want to wear a uniform in this league, it will be green and gold. It'll be Packer colors. That's what it's going to be.
Or sit.
If you don't want to play, don't play. You want to host Jeopardy? Host Jeopardy. You want to live in Hawaii with your wife? Live in Hawaii with us. We don't care. But if you're going to throw a pass in this league, it is going to be for us. It is not going to be for somebody else. It's not happening.
And if here's a question. If Rodgers doesn't play, are the Packers cursed?
Well,
I keep going back to that one thing where all their great quarterbacks never played more than 16 years.
Oh, I mean, I guess. Okay.
Is that just a weird coincidence to happen with their third quarterback?
Can I be honest with you? If you can get an MVP level player for 16 years, thank the football gods.
Right?
Like, I don't think that's a curse that they can't extend that kind of – that is an impressive amount of playing.
But if he doesn't play, that will be kind of funny to see that there are three star quarterbacks in their franchise history never made it, you know, only played 16 years, and then they were done.
One of the biggest criticisms of Rodgers is he seems to be talking in more vague sense, like more of a vague cloud. And just say, you know, you can say that you have problems with management, but really get to the nitty-gritty. Sit down with somebody and say, this is why I want out in Green Bay, and state your case more precise than you even did with Kenny Mayne on his final ESPN show. Because you're not selling your case as to why you want to leave if you list 500 reasons why it's great and one that isn't.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio as we continue along. And again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, more on the situation in Green Bay. And then today is also a date to keep watch if Julio Jones gets traded from the Atlanta Falcons. Where could he land? It's going to be coming up. You know, in a day or two, you'll start hearing more and more. Hey, Freol Deep Penetrating Oil delivers three times more lubricant and takes less spray, less torque, less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Body shop safe means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, silicone-free. You can find them at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa Auto Parts Store. Also at select Walmart stores. Hey, fuel tank removal, stuck ball joints, frozen emergency brake cables, threaded pipe connectors, rusted machine screws, corroded U-bolts. These are some of the uses for Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Again, three times more lubricant, so it does take less spray, less torque, and less time. And again, you can find it at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa, and select Walmart stores. So again, that's one of the big pieces to watch for in the NFL. The other is Julio Jones, which is more likely to happen than Aaron Rodgers getting traded. Julio Jones is probably going to be traded because if the Falcons can't afford him and did not rework his contract. Where is his landing spot? I hear Tennessee. I keep hearing it more and more as I sit here in Nashville. But again, it depends on what they'll get for him. I don't think there's a team out there that's going to get that's going to give up a first round pick. When the Falcons said the other day that they had a first round offer, I think we talked to Russell Baxter about this last week. I really didn't believe it. I just don't think it's true. But you know, maybe behind the scenes are like, well, if the situation is right, the key to the Julio Jones deal is, can they get a team that is willing to eat up a lot of the money? Well, I shouldn't say that. It's reverse. Can they get the Falcons to eat up a lot of the money on the contract? So if a team comes in and says, we'll offer you a second round pick and you pick up a certain percentage of this contract, the Falcons may go, nah, we're not into that. We want a first-round pick, and you pick up the entire contract. And then we'll see where this plays out. I do think that teams will – Frank Schwab put this out on Twitter, Yahoo Sports. I agreed with it. I think every single team would be better if Julio Jones was on the roster. But when you say better, it also comes at a cost, right? What cost would you want that level of betterment, right, on your team? How much does it make him? Does it make you better? And what are you giving up to be how much better he brings you? Right? Maybe he entirely alters your passing game. Maybe he's just another weapon in a list of weapons. Every team is going to gauge that differently, and every team is going to gauge the cost differently. But again, this is where you're going to see movement. And now that it's June 1st, I'd be really curious about Tennessee. I really am. I didn't think Tennessee was going to be on the radar here. I really did not. And now it looks like Tennessee is not only on the radar, but is one of the front runners to land Julio Jones. I still think New England's in play. I still think the Patriots are in play. I wonder if Terry Fondo, because, you know.
I have a hard time with the Patriots, unless the Falcons can find a way to fleece them. I don't know. Maybe it's superficial. Maybe I'm reading too much into it with the Falcons and Patriots cutting a deal. But I just feel like there's still bad blood, I guess.
You got to be really careful with that angle, because if you have an opportunity to better your team, it really, in the end, doesn't matter. Like, you're not going to be that petty. Like, they've got to free up the money. If the Patriots are the only team on the roster, they can't keep Julio Jones in the cap hit because they're upset they lost a 28-3 lead.
But no, but I see them dealing with another team for less than what they, you know, what the Patriots be offering.
It depends on how many offers are coming to you. Right? I mean, not every team is going to go after Julio Jones. So it depends on what offers they're getting. But also remember, Terry Fontenot had no connection to this team for Super Bowl 51.
True.
None. And neither is Arthur Smith. They're not responsible for it. They weren't part of it. They're not. That's nothing. That means nothing to them. That was the old regime. That was.
But would that upset the fan base? Because you do have a certain obligation to the fans.
Which is going to be? Let's be realistic. What's more? Like, you really going to lose fans because you trade Julio Jones to the Patriots? You're going to lose him. Like, you're going to lose him for trading Julio Jones in the first place. Like, to me, if you are making a business decision, you make the best business decision out there. You have to go with the best deal. If the Patriots come at you and say, "We'll give you a second round pick and we'll pick up," we're willing to pick up 95% of his contract. You only pick up 5%. It's the best deal on the table. And they go, "Well, we're really angry because we had a 28-3 lead and you had the audacity to win that Super Bowl after we gave it away to you." Like, if I'm a fan, why am I mad at the Patriots for that? I'm mad at the Falcons for that. Like, my anger isn't at New England. They didn't cheat to win that Super Bowl. My anger is with my own team. They're the ones that blew the 28-3 lead. They're the ones that were passing when they should have been running the clock down. They were the ones that dropped the ball. They were the ones that blew cover. They were the ones that blew the overtime. They're not. That's not on the Patriots. The Patriots is. That's not. Your anger at the Patriots is misguided. Your anger should be at your own organization for that. But this is an entirely new organization. I think the Patriots. Would be in play because if you could get the best deal out of it, you would take it, because what you need more than anything is the best deal out of it. This is an expensive, expensive cap hit. And if you have somebody that goes, "I'll take all of it," like if the Tennessee Titans come out for you a second round pick and they'll say, "But you have to pick up 50% of the deal," and the Patriots go, "We'll give you a second round pick and we'll take 80% of the deal," then you got to go with the Patriots. Because your goal is to build the team in the right direction. I think that angle of, "Well, they're still mad that they lost," that's more of a fandom thing than it is a business thing. Like, in the end, business has to be done, and business is just done business wise. And I think okay, let me give you an example. If you have a player and you're going to trade that player, it is realistic to not trade him in the division. Because you play that team twice and they know a lot more about you and they can do that. That's legit. That's not being petty. That's legit. But if you are saying, "I can go out there and make the best deal possible," and the best deal possible is with the New England Patriots, I don't care what Joe from Macon thinks, or I don't care what my season ticket holders are saying to me, I will stand on that soapbox and go, "Tell me where you would make the best deal. Tell me what team you would have worked with to make the best deal. We cannot keep him. We cannot keep him. So if we keep him, we have no money. We have no money for anything. So where is the best deal? You show me. If the Patriots are going to pay all of the salary and a second round pick, am I supposed to trade him to a team that demands that I pay 80% of the salary and gives me a third round pick? Just because 5 years ago you were uncomfortable with the way the organization played in the biggest game of its franchise history?" I think that's where it is. And I think that's more of the angle. I think the Titans are probably the leader in the clubhouse based on what I'm hearing in Nashville. They really are trying to make a push. But again, these negotiations are weird because they're playing off each other, right? Like the Falcons, like when the Falcons came out and said they were getting a first round offer. Of course they did. Of course they would say that. Absolutely, that's how the game is played. I was saying this yesterday. If you're a general manager of any organization and you're talking with your owner about this potential deal and you're saying to the owner of the team, I want to get Julio Jones. I think I can get him for this. And the owner comes back and says, well, they're saying that they could get a first round pick. They're getting first round offers. Yeah. But let me just tell you something. I'm a general manager. That's exactly what I would say if I was in the same position. If I was Terry Fontenot, that's exactly what I would do. Even if I had zero. Even if I had zero first round offers. I would say, oh yeah, we're getting a lot of people on the phones. They're saying, you know. And then it's up to the teams to go, yeah, thanks, I'm out. Like you do it with anything. It's like, hey, yeah, I'm selling a car here. It's 8,000. And some guy comes over and goes, I'll give you six. Well, I got a few phone calls. I could get at least 7,500. All right, I'll give you six. Yeah, well, phones have been ringing off the hook. You know, okay, I'll give you six. All right, I'll take six. Because you're bluffing. That's the way it is. You're bluffing. If there is a team out there that jumped on the phone and was offering a first-round pick for Julio Jones, there would be a press release being printed out right now to announce the trade today. If I'm the Falcons and I legitimately have somebody on the line going, I'll give you a first-round pick for that, I'd be like, done and done. I'm not even taking more phone calls. Congratulations, you just got yourself a wide receiver. Often injured, but very productive.
And I think the only first-round pick that would happen would be a winning team already. Would be like a Chiefs or...
Oh, yeah, that's going to send one late.
Yeah, send like, you know...
Enjoy your 28th pick in the draft.
It's considered a first round because it's before 32.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But it's after 30, so you decide whether or not it's a first-round pick.
Now, what if the Falcons keep them and they just go to salary cap hell?
I don't see that happening.
I don't either. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, if that does...
There's a report that Seattle's in the mix, too.
If that does happen, Arthur Blank is going to have to raise the prices of his concessions.
Right, I know, and he doesn't want to do that.
No, he doesn't. He likes the people.
He does not want to do that. He loves the people.
He wants to keep those drinks refillable.
Yeah. One thing about Arthur Blank, man, you got to love him. He did the concession thing correctly, right?
Or is Arthur Blank going to force Chick-fil-A to be open on Sunday?
Yeah, right?
It's like, sorry, guys.
Sorry, I know you got religious beliefs and everything, but they got money to make.
Yeah.
Let's go make that money.
Yeah, just you know,
I'm
say
in an awful position.
It's for the Julio Jones fund.
Exactly.
But, I'm with you. If there's whatever the offer is, first round, second round, I mean, Julio Jones, I think, is gone.
I think he's gone, too. There's no way they can keep him. Look.
You know, especially all the stuff that happened that went down with Shannon Sharpe.
When we were talking no doubt, without question. When we were talking to our Atlanta Falcons guest,
Orlando Ledbetter.
Yeah. Same kind of feeling, right? It's like they negotiated all of these other contracts, but there were two guys they did not do that to. One of them was Julio Jones, and the feeling was that's one of the reasons they didn't renegotiate the deal, was to jettison him out of Atlanta onto somewhere else.
Ned, I wonder how much truth there was, too, because he said, I mean, he approached them, like, what, back in, almost feels like he had mentioned, like, he approached him back in, like, in March or February?
Yeah.
Like, a long time ago that he wanted out.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Interesting.
It's going to be weird. I mean, I guess he'll be that... We'll put him on that list of players to see in a different jersey.
I think he's one of those players, though, because, you know, he's healthy and he is dynamic. He would make every team better. Like every team in the league, every single team, he would make better. It's just what degree? What degree would he make it better? If you are loaded at wide receiver, he would make your wide receiving core better, but not by much, right? If you have a full roster of wonderful wide receivers. But if you have hardly anybody that you could throw to, he would make your wide receiving core 1,000 times better.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, and I know there's been one player that's been angling for him, and I would actually love to see it, and that was DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, sure.
Imagine him with the Cardinals.
Oh, my God, that would be great.
Kyrie Murray would just be like, thank God I chose football over baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
I could be with the A's, who don't know where they're playing anytime soon, or I could be with the Cardinals and have the two top wide receivers to throw to.
The Falcons, look, the Falcons are going to take either a first-round pick if they can get it, and I don't think they will, but okay, I'll leave it on the table. They'll take a second. They will take a player that can help them. They're not taking a player that can't, right, obviously. And they need to get as much of that contract on the plate of the team they're dealing with. They cannot be in a position to take some, because then what's the point, right? If you're picking up, if you're taking too much of Jones's contract.
Right.
Those are the criteria.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
they've
had
a player that can help you get a second round pick at the worst, and make sure that the team you're dealing with is going to take a majority of that contract.
And I imagine they've had some deals presented to them where the other team said, "Well, we'll pay this portion," and the Bucks are like, "No."
Well, without a doubt. I mean, I guarantee you, somebody's gotten on the phone going, "Can I throw you a third and an aging linebacker?"
Yeah,
and they went, "No,
no,
no, thank you." Yeah. Okay, just trying.
Doesn't make any sense for us.
Just seeing where you're at with that. Because we got a running back that's 45 years old. He can barely walk, but we could really get rid of him. Right? No, thank you. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Jake Asman Show coming up next. Sports Map Radio. By the way, did you like Helio Castroneves winning the Indy 500?
And scaling the fence And running around the entire track? Or almost.
Exuberance! Youthful exuberance! Yeah, he was kind of like, I'm not 25 anymore.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I was saying this yesterday
that I have this bit with my son, because every time Brady's in the Super Bowl, I remind him, you know, he's going to be 20.
Right.
And that I was rocking you with as a little baby when Brady won his first Super Bowl. We watched the Super Bowl together. I was rocking you with the... He wasn't even born when Helio Castroneves won his first Indy 500. That's amazing to me. You know, Phil won his first major in 2003. Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl in February of 2002. Helio Castroneves won his first Indy 500 in May of 2001. It's amazing. Great stuff. Great stuff. All right, Jake Asman Show is coming up next. Thanks for joining us at SportsMap Radio.